All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Everybody, welcome to the Common Sense Show. TV and goodness gracious me, we've had technical difficulties, but we overcame. We're here. We have a terrific show for you today, and I'm going to let Dud take most of the lead on this, although I do have some pertinent questions. We're going to be talking all things UFOs. Doug, you want to pick this up from here and introduce our guest and get us rolling?
Yeah, everyone, thanks for being on with us. This is Mr. Michael Horn, as you see over here. And Mr. Michael Horn is considered to be one of the top most knowledgeable people on ufology in the world currently. And I am ecstatic to have you on, sir. I have so many questions. We probably don't have time. But one of the things I wanted to really get out there is the fact that the Pentagon has recently came out and said that UFOs are now a threat. I recently did a podcast describing how ridiculous that statement is, because since 1947, when Roswell was first recorded, all the way to 1969, when the ending of Blue Book, the Air Force came out and said that UFOs were absolutely 100% not a threat to the national security of the United States. They were not considered to be anything intelligent. They were not considered to be anything beyond man-made. They weren't considered to be anything beyond a potential misnomenclature of natural events like swamp gas and stars and satellites and all that. Before I get any further, do you think that statement is true based off of what Project Blue Book ended with? Or do you think that now the Pentagon is actually delivering the real truth? And thanks for being on with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, truly. Let me try it like this. The higher levels of military intelligence, that would mean the Pentagon and also things like the CIA, have long known that there are craft that are not terrestrial in origin. Now, having said that, I want to introduce this, that as far back as the 1920s, alternative craft, electromagnetic drives and other things like that were already being developed. And after the second, well, go back farther. At the time of the First World War, objects were being seen in the sky by the antagonists, and they each thought it must be a secret weapon from their enemy. Because nobody was ever attacked by them, everybody was able to figure out this isn't terrestrial. And that began, if you will, and I don't mean this in any way, one way or the other. I'm not much into conspiracies. There are real ones, but I focus largely on what I can prove, factual stuff. And also then I will say, according to the information in the case that I represent. So having said that, these craft were acknowledged, and a conspiracy, if you will, now that I've said it, of silence was entered into by the U.S. and other countries. Woodrow Wilson, the early president, carried that on. And each president that had any right to know that could be let in was informed about the existence of non-terrestrial craft. After now, the Roswell incident was a real incident. I learned about it actually in about 1957 when I was in high school. And a kid, I'll never forget it, walks up to me and tells me his dad just told him about this thing. And I said, "What is that?" He says, "Well, they took a flying saucer to Ohio some years ago." And I went, it just embedded in my mind. Okay. Now we move up a little bit more with this threat idea. Now, here, when Lou Elizondo came out with that nonsense, I published an article, have published several, saying, really? A threat. 70 years of UFOs, they're now acknowledging, and they're thinking that might be a threat, but they're going to give a committee 6 months to determine if this is a threat. I mean, it's so bogus. It's really bad. However, that TikTok video clip, which is not a high quality thing, our films are far and away beyond that, and they're all pre-digital, that information about who is most likely operating, flying those craft was actually spoken about a little more than 7 years ago by the man I represent, Billy Meyer. We have a video up where he explains, and of course, there's no Tic Tac that we're talking about at the time. He said there are, in addition to the people that he claims to have been meeting with since he was a five-year-old boy face-to-face for 80 years, there are about three other groups that he calls the Earth Foreigners that are based primarily, with the exception of one of them, under the ground and had existences going back many, many years, thousands, on the surface, some of them being now the descendants of gods from Egypt and South and Central America. I don't mean to go too far foot here, but I want to just give you a little here. This is a highly bogus, it's really designed to promote war, more weapons, invasions. And I recently got the first response from the U.S. government. There's something called the HICCCS, House Intelligence, Counterterrorism, Subcommittee. And I sent them a bunch of Meyer stuff, knowing full well that, you know, they've got to know. But I actually got a response. From the woman that I sent it to, who's a national security advisor, I'm forwarding this to the committee. Thank you very much. I thanked her. I sent her more information recently. I'm going to shut up in a second. But the information I just sent her has to do with the specific predictions pertaining to what's going on now, where it will lead us, and what will happen to our country. And she wrote me back saying, wow, this is very interesting. I'm forwarding it. So I've thrown a lot of stuff out there. Let me stop, because I think you might want to march through this a little more.
Yeah. Mr. Horn, I was wondering if you're familiar with senior non-com of NATO, the late Bob Dean. Did you know Bob?
I didn't know him, but I knew of him. We probably appeared at some of the same conferences. I've seen a video or two. He actually had spoken favorably about this case. He knew this Billy Meyer contacts were real.
Right.
And he'd spoken about that. And, you know, what I should say here, the UFO part of this obviously is fascinating. It's the least important part. That I say this to people so that whenever we can, and you know, and how much time we can get to it, we move into the reason. This is the thing that is never asked in all of ufology. If the contacts are real, what's the reason for them? Why would, if they exist, advanced, highly technologically developed and advanced space traveling, long-lived people who've had to become long lifespans to evolve through space travel, why would they come here and flit around the skies, those that are not secret military, because most are, 90% at least? Why would they appear, and why would they contact one man in Switzerland, a guy who's dodged 24 attempts in his life for his trouble? Why would they? The reason is, and I've said this since 2004, to help us assure our very threatened future survival. These contacts go back to six other contactees over 2,000 years ago.
Look, I want to just get your reaction to this as you go down this path. I actually was in some private briefings with Sergeant Bob Dean, Vance Davis, formerly of the NSA, and Bill Pollack, formerly of Air Force Intelligence, late Bill Pollack. And we actually had a meeting one time in the back of a hair salon in Mesa, Arizona, with some select people just to share data. And I want to get your reaction to this. Bob said, and I don't remember the exact number, but he said there were somewhere around two dozen, roughly speaking, advanced alien races. Some were friendly to us and wanted to promote our survival, and some were exploitive, and the others were trying to hold them in check. Do you agree with that statement?
I don't think it's quite like that, though. With the information that I've been studying for 43 years would relate to it in this way, according to the information in this case. Going back thousands of years, a human extraterrestrial race, among many, came here. Not the first race to do so. This goes back millions of years. A race that wanted to enslave humankind and ultimately had a base that they developed deep, about a mile below the Great Pyramid. Okay. And they, over time, were responsible for lots of things that were not good. They had an advanced kind of telepathic control over several hundred leaders of different kinds on Earth. And they also worked phony contacts on people, and they called it the Ashtar Command. It's a long story. You've probably heard of this.
I've heard of this, yes.
So these people actually, according to this information, were taken off the planet in 1978 when they were trying another one of their assassination attempts. They were trying to blow up Billy's home. And it's an interesting story. Yeah. The reason I cautiously say, according to information in the case, if someone says to me, can you prove this is true? I say, yes, anybody can. Can you prove that everything in strike? And say, no, I can't do that because I can't prove things pertaining to the far distant past that we haven't discovered or the as yet unarrived future. But we've correlated right now over 250 specific examples, error-free, prophetically accurate, scientific, geopolitical, pertaining to the war, yes, indeed, environmental, medical, pertaining to COVID, among other things, and economic information. As a quick throw-in on the last one, 2006, I'm visiting with Meyer in Switzerland, and I just felt compelled to ask him, I said, Billy, was the Iraq war fundamentally about oil? He looked at me, and never forget, he says, no. Fundamentally, it's about your dollar. And if things go a certain way, you may as well roll cigarettes with your paper money. 2006, I put the video up. It's online. So I think that he was onto something, and he elaborated on it 5 years ago, describing the breakdown, the coming global financial collapse, the causes, the consequences. And in that document, and all this is free on the website and all this stuff, in that document, he says, the American people will be dispossessed. The government will turn the police and the military against the partly heavily armed populace. So I'll stop there. I might have
gone. Wow, that's a pretty amazing statement given what we're going through today.
Oh, there's more. Yeah. Look, that what we're really going is. With, I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Doug? Doug's microphone seems to be. Tell you, the gremlins are out. That's okay. I'm still live. We'll recapture Doug in a minute. I know Billy Meyer had a lot of interaction with Art Bell. And although I didn't know Art well, I knew him through other people that I know well. And Art Bell was really taken with him. He thought he was one of the real ones. And you've written a book about this, correct? And let's get this out here so people can make a note and go get that book.
Actually, I have not authored books specifically on this. I've produced four documentaries, each of which I would put prophetic information, and each subsequent documentary, later on, that stuff would be fulfilled. I mean, Meyer back in 81 and 87 said, the United States of America will have two coming civil wars, and it cannot be helped that the country will break up. 1981 and 87, what's a Swiss guy in the mountains with one arm talking about American civil wars? Art Bell had interviewed me a couple of times. I don't think he ever interviewed Billy particularly, but he found out about the case, and one of the interviews was 4 hours long, and I loved it. His producer called me and said, oh, I want to apologize. I said, why? She said, oh, Art was so harsh with you. I said, well, that's the kind of an interview that he should do, because this is, look, if guys, nowadays, everybody and their brother thinks they're a UFO investigator and a contactee. The confirmed existence of and contact with advanced space traveling extraterrestrials would be the single most important then true story in all of science and history. It's not going on everywhere with everybody and their uncle. So when people in ufology and all the rest are talking about it as if it's happening every day, this is nothing. This is not. A lot of disinformation floating around. So I appreciated when Art was grilling me, because anybody needs to refer to the Meyer material and check it out. copyrights verify his predictions. It's so ironclad. If we get to it, I'll tell you an interesting story about being interrogated.
Well, let me ask you about the Civil Wars for a second. Did sure. Billy give any specific information about approximate time frames and what the issues would be?
No, except this. You see, very often in the beginning, they were giving dates for certain things. And then they said, we're not going to do that anymore. People don't seem to learn. And then if they get a date, they try and interfere with it rather than prepare for it. They try to alter that. It's going to make something worse. So what Myers said was, if the people in America do not change the course of the country, he said this first in 75 and then in 2012, after 2020, the superpower USA will cease to exist. That didn't mean we're going to be bombed out of existence, folks. It means USA is United States of America. Superpower is a status. If we have those civil wars after 2020, which is what I thought he was certainly saying, we are no longer a united country. And we're no longer a superpower because we of the situations with China, which they were foretelling in 1976, the collaboration between Russia and China, because of the provocation of the West, the secret American government, not the American people who don't really want to be destroyed, thank you very much.
Yeah.
NATO, the UK, the EU. They have predicted all of this. In 87, he publishes information about the attacks that Russia will launch against Finland, Sweden, and Norway. Now, why? They were all neutral in 87. They're not looking very neutral now. They're about to join NATO, right?
That's right.
And in a book, which we sell to download this inexpensively, if you go to Amazon for this book, you're going to pay hundreds of dollars. We sell the complete download for people for $27 so they can read this themselves. Those prophecies are in that book, and a prophecy that says Switzerland is going to give up its neutrality. Switzerland is the country of neutrality. They will give up their neutrality, which will lead to very bad things because this will be at the time when war. It's right in there. And I've put all this stuff up on the blog. We've been screaming, but we can't get heard. Our Google rating, after I started to publish Myers' impeccably accurate info on COVID, we went from first to second page to 17, 20, who knows? Yeah, same thing on YouTube. And people, I mean, there's so much here, guys. That's why I say to you, I appreciate this opportunity. And I'll try to keep it in the bounds because there's so much to talk about.
Cool. Go on here. Let me check with Doug. Doug, are you back?
Yeah, I'm good. I was actually, I was looking for something on the House Intelligence Committee that you were talking about, Mr. Horn. And I had my mic muted. I was like, I got to find this or I'm going to lose it. And I'm going to lose that train of thought. So here's my question for you. The House Intelligence Subcommittee on Counterterrorism, Counterintelligence, and Counterproliferation, that's the one. When they held a hearing on the UAPs, the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena,
right?
They said that based off of naval intelligence, that the Phenomena Task Force, which is now created, every year it's something new. They had over 144 different events that they had examined and analyzed between 2004, 2021 Certainly. That possibly were threatening to the national security of the United States. Now, being former military and the fact that I worked for the government for 15 years, when we have these committees and task force go out, it's guys like me that they send out to do these investigations. So I know a little bit of what they're doing and what they're going through. Not everybody's top notch. And, you know, a lot of these guys, they sharpen pencils with their teeth. So, you know, I understand that there's a missing gap of intelligence there that can be filled with nefarious reasons for the threat. What I think is, the only possibility to say that it's an actual threat were the abduction cases and then the U.S. government coming out with the radiation burns, the missing time, the people that, you know, had a strange pregnancy out of nowhere, or the pregnancy actually disappearing because supposedly, you know, the aliens took the baby. there's a lot of cases of that. What's your opinion on that? When the U.S. government comes out and says that, there, it's either that's smoke and mirrors like no one's ever seen before, Wizard of Oz style, or there's something there. What do you think?
Well, interestingly enough, I'm looking at one of my blogs that I just put up with a few days ago. It's called Conned by U.S. Government, Predicted by Billy Meyer. And it's information from about 15 years ago in a conversation where Meyer is talking about the premeditated abductions, which are credited ostensibly to the extraterrestrials as well. However, also simulated appearances of ET flying craft, which are then collectively declared to be ET appearances. The entire thing is secretively financed through governments, the military, industrial groups, and financially powerful ones who are interested in angst, terror, and hate being stirred up to their highest forms by extraterrestrials. Now, here's just a couple. I'm not going to read all this. Additionally, belonging to this plan is the invention of an imaginary extraterrestrial enemy, as well as a danger emerging from this, an enemy and a danger, which naturally will have to be fought. Now, he goes on, and in this and in other things, they have made clear the so-called abductions, with the exception over dozens and dozens of a handful, are secret military operations, not necessarily only by any that might originate here. Again, this is, I'm not telling you this is so, I'm giving you the information from this case. And the whole thing of hybrid babies and all nonsense, the mutilations, secret military. As Meyer said in that sentence, the whole thing is designed to stir up angst and hatred and fear, because this is about fundamentally promoting big budgets for war. Now, look, every country has a right to defend itself, but logic tells us if this has been going on for 70 years, we have not been attacked. Now, have there been incidents where maybe a nuclear weapon facility was shut down?
Mm-hmm.
Very right, possible. There's not a lot about that in the material, because Meyer's essence of what he's saying here is, while there are negative, good, and you know, dark forces in the universe, and we could one day face them, our enemy isn't coming from out there. Our enemy is human, created on Earth, and the machinations of governments and secret services. This is not, I've got a good friend, former Navy SEAL, former CIA guy, worked for George Bush, left that when he found the Meyer material. And he's told me many things that happened to him in the course of his career and what he learned, what he had to do. And I go, wow, you know, you've had experiences there. I don't judge people negatively for being patriotic and wanting to stand for the country. Has the government always told people the truth? There is information in the Meyer case about things I guarantee none of us have heard about that have been conducted by secret military experiments and people, even beyond Tuscaloosa thing and other things that are just disastrous. Would our government fool us? Why is there suddenly an investigation into UFOs? It's also, there's a useful idiot contingency. The UFO community, all the enthusiasts, they suck up the bandwidth everywhere with nonsense. None of them will talk about the Meyer case, because if they do, they can't promote their books or their nonsense. Nobody presents evidence. Nobody has one sentence, you know, useful, significant information. Meyer's published 45,000 pages. So it's astounding, because if I come forward with this, it's like, what's this guy talking about? A lot of people give me that. I say, look, I know how this sounds. I've studied, I've done research since 2000, 2001. I've done battle with every professional skeptic I could find. And they were all attacking Meyer. Now none of them will even, they won't answer my emails. I just debunked another one the other day, one 4 weeks ago. And I put it up on online because we are being misled. Our problems are not coming from basically imaginary little big-headed, large-eyed, gray guys, which were androids. They are coming from the machinations of private interests. In 1948 or 9, young Billy Myers told that at about 1988, I think the term was used, a capital might, meaning a powerhouse of finance would be formed, which would act as a shadow government to the United States. Can you say BlackRock? 1948, 40 years before it was created. This material is so staggering. Billy has, I've interviewed 14 eyewitnesses. So the story now that since the 24 attempts on his life, there were just people from Ukraine in Zelensky's inner circle who within the past couple months wrote and called Meyer saying, will you please help us? This man is a Nazi. He's getting our people killed. We don't want war. We don't want war with Russia. This is terrible. And Meyer said, they cannot intercede. I am not capable of it. You must take responsibility for your path, your future of your country and your people. Shortly after that, and we published it on the website, I got information from Meyer. A large armored Mercedes limousine with diplomatic plates from Ukraine pulls into his property unannounced and uninvited. Three men get out with a large six-propellered camera-laden drone filming his entire property. They refuse to leave till they're done. After that, the Swiss Air Force starts low-flying planes, helicopter things. People are coming up there. He's been dodging this since he came public in 75. The CIA had their first lookout over Meyer's property. I drove by it many times. It's no longer used. They don't need it. Their technology is way beyond. So what I try to do whenever I get a chance, because look, I would have loved Tucker Carlson to be showing Meyer's films and photos instead of this junk and talking about this case, because he and the people, I'm not political one way or the other. I think there's loonies on the left. I think there's people that are extreme on the right. I think there's people on either side of the aisle that are reasonable. And there's people like me, maybe, who are not politically partisan, who may also be reasonable and loony as well. Okay. People have to have the opportunity to determine the truth for themselves. This is going to go very badly. Here's a thing, a controversial thing. Climate change. Okay. People on the right think it's all crazy. People on the left think it's all the way they think it is. Meyer began publishing this information in 51 about unnatural man-made climate change. Climate change is natural, but human beings were contributing to it and would ultimately, we'd be at 75%. So you get crazy people like Greta Thunberg and other green people that don't know. We are, whether we go fossil fuels or so-called green energy, basically we're screwed because all of it requires more energy to be produced and consumed. I asked Meyer in 2011 when I did one of my films on him. So what's the answer here? He says, the real answer isn't, you're not going to have free energy for a long time. True deep thermal, geothermal, not where they inject the dirty water into earth, but where the heat comes up and operates the turbines. He said, you would solve 90% of those. Sure, you need to figure out what kind of cars you're going to run or whatever, but you would get rid of the pollution. You wouldn't have all this, the craziness that goes on in so many ways. So I have tried to say in my way, whenever I have a voice, I say about people that polarize or have this harsh view, oh, it's got to be, everything's got to be green. We're going to fly to all the green conferences and pollute the world more to protest and give people a hard time. Or the other people are going to say it's absolutely crazy. Well, stuff is happening. Years ago, Meyer says, America will burn. Fires will be sweeping across the country more and more. Everywhere you turn, he predicts the eruption of Cumbre Vieja decades ago, which may not be over yet. Five volcanoes. In 1948, his first extraterrestrial teacher says, here's dates for you, between 2015 and 2017, there will be very strong earthquakes in central Italy that will be the precursors to the eruptions, if I can remember them, Mount Marsili, Mount Etna, Mount Vesuvius, Mount Stromboli and Campi Flegri. Campi Flegri is a caldera. Parts of Italy will be going into the sea. Well, what's this about? So I start looking it up. I find it. There's something, I don't know if it was Wiki or whatever, between 2015 and 2017, the strongest earthquakes ever to hit central Italy occurred. And now each of the volcanoes I mentioned, they've started to become active. These people, they can't come down, and we would go nuts. It would be destructive to us, because there's so many different belief systems, political systems. They're saying to us, we want to help you survive. But if you do not try to pay attention and learn from this, we can do nothing. So now I put it this way, I think we crossed the point of no return for certain things, like the unfortunate confrontation with Russia, China, their allies, and the descendants, possibly of extraterrestrials. They've described the weaponry that will be used against America in 1987. He described it. In 87, Billy Meyer spoke about laser, biological, chemical weapons, cloned, consciousness fighting warriors, and that there would be these super hurricanes and fire cylinders that would be sent against the country. In the same document where he talks about Finland, Sweden, and Norway, and before that, he mentions Russia will move its troops to Arkhangelsk. I didn't know what Arkhangelsk was, Dave, Doug. Arkhangelsk is in northern Siberia. I had that on my blog in 2003 or 4. 2011, Russia moved its troops to Arkhangelsk. And I've got a whole bunch of articles. I'm trying to say they will be coming through Alaska when they've done their thing in Scandinavia. And I don't know whether it's 2 years, 5 or 10. I don't know. We are being asked to pay attention.
Did Billy think we would be occupied by either Chinese or Russian troops or both?
The way I read it, there will not be much ultimately to occupy unless we wake up here. So this, people say, oh, this is doom and gloom. I say, look, I started out wanting to prove the prophecies wrong. That's my mission. And by that, I mean, when I started to do my first presentation, I started research in 79. I'm doing my first presentations in 87 and on. And I would say to people, look, these are the prophecies here. Let's make sure these things don't happen. Let's prove these things wrong. We can do that if we will just pay attention, ask the right questions, take recommendations. We're not being told that we've got to do this thing. We said, here's the advice. They literally put it, our advice and recommendations for this, for that, for this, for that. And I guarantee you, even if you agree with this, you're going to find something in this material that you're going to just absolutely not agree with. They are equal opportunity offenders. They've had something bad to say about everybody on the planet. Israel, yeah, but the Palestinians as well. I mean, it's just like their overview, whoever they are, is so deep historically and politically, with the things that we don't know about, the machinations behind the scenes. Billy Meyer fleshed out how World War III was avoided during the Cuban Missile Crisis, when he and one of the ETs were on a Russian submarine speaking to a man in charge of either launching or not launching nuclear weapons because of radar information or miss. This is beyond Star Wars stuff, and it is manageable. You know, you're giving me some time. We're talking, so I'm a little charged up here. We could take anything and do any amount of time you want on it. This is where I really implore people, look, folks, you don't have to buy anything. Yeah, I've got an offer for you if you want a film or something, a book, anything. But the blog I've got is so loaded I have over 1,600 articles, all of which contain Meyer information about everything you can think of. When I mentioned COVID, when we first published that information, I'm living in Arizona, 5 cases. I send it around March 5th throughout the state. They wouldn't even call me a liar. They simply squashed it. We have now 2.2 something million cases and over 30,000 deaths. The media wouldn't touch it. The local and state government, the medical system, the educational system, they shut me down. I called a PR company called Sisyon, formerly PR Web, an hour and a half pleading with the guy to let us put out the press release warning. Billy Myers already in November 19 said, this is the, it was the result of an accident at the Wuhan lab. He nailed SARS before that in 1995, before the, so this is what we're doing for, you know, this is why ufology and government committees. I've got my correspondence with Amy Munch from that committee, the NSA advisor. I put it on my, in my blog. So I'm not lying. They'll never, this will never see the light of day. They know. These people that are now, there's a new budget coming for this. I just saw this online. This is not about, what could they do? If it was real, if there was a threat, we wouldn't know about it. What? Why would we stir up the American people? Needlessly, if we were about to be attacked, that's the job then of the military to do the best they can. You don't start saying, oh, there's evil little guys lurking around that are a threat to us. It stirs paranoia, conspiracy theories all over the place. And hides the truth that Meyer and his friends have been trying to get.
What will, according to Billy, what will these ETs do when we're attacked?
You mean by the Russians and Chinese?
Yes.
Assuming that proceeds, his people can do nothing. This is not their job. Their self obligated mission was to come and inform and try to help us to understand our true history, the history of everything in our world, and where it has led to today. Their forefathers were among some of the ETs who represented themselves as the gods in our history. This is, and it's very provocative information, but they said, look, we cannot interfere here. Our forefathers, some of them, along with other ETs, came over many millennia and screwed you folks up. It helped to screw it up. You should straighten yourselves out, but we are not going to appear and cause more fear and more. There was an outreach to the U.S. government by the Pleiaren extraterrestrials and Meyer in 1979 to the Carter.
Can you say the name of that ET group again?
Sure. They called themselves Pleiaren, Plejaren. However, Billy Meyer coined the false term Pleiadians. There is no life in the Pleiades. So that, because he said to them when they asked him, I think it was January of 75, he says, well, why should I call you Pleiadians? There's no life in the Pleiades. And he said, well, of course not. But that means, Billy, you don't have to bother us every time somebody comes forward claiming that they are in contact with us, they're channeling us, they're having our babies, whatever. They are self-identifying as not telling the truth. So forget about it, move on. He said, okay, very clever. So we have here a situation in which these real human extraterrestrials, ancestrally created to us, related to us, cannot step into this field. We actually have over 9.2 billion people on the planet, not eight. And with everything that goes on, we can't even get along with the people down the street in the next state, in the next country. And it's obvious we're going to have to get through this. And it's a mixture of things. You know, basically, I say to people, you must prepare yourselves. Have healthy, interdependent relationships with people that you are aligned with to help each other, whatever works for you. Don't give way to fear. Don't put a bullseye in your forehead by having to run out and try and confront, in my opinion, don't rush to confront. They'll be coming at you soon enough. Do your thing with each other, you know, create harmony in your relationships with each other so that you can navigate. Because even though we know, those of us that trust this material after having validated it, we know things are coming. We already see them now, but we've known for years. When things really hit the fan, they will still shock most people. Even people who are, you know, preppers or survivalists, still, now it's real. At that, it's up the ante. And then you've got the breakdown of the country, and whenever a war comes, we need to soften this a bit. We need more reasoning amongst us in this country. We don't have to agree with each other. Clearly, most don't. But if we could reason with each other, and find common principles that were not based in what is always advantage-oriented political partisanship. This side has to get over. Folks, don't we all want survival? Yeah, let's put that one down on the list. We want survival. What are the other ones that we can agree on? Now we've got to work our way through how do we get there. Don't demonize the people that want to be prepared. Don't call them all, you know, crazy, you know, whatever people call
crazy
them.
Crazy preppers. There you go.
Crazy preppers. That's the sweetest term you'll hear. And the ones on the other side, I call them the loony left. Now, there are things about people that think on either side of the spectrum that are good and are right. But the extremes take people into polarization, into banging heads with each other. The hardest thing facing us will be cooperation. And as I've said for the material I published, feeling now that these people, these Pleiadians, said to Billy, our mission after 13,500 years has essentially failed. From here on, the next several hundred years, it will require the survivors to come together and to work it out without the old paradigms, or there will be no survivors. And so I've said, well, you know, I've long figured that I'm doing this for the survivors, since I can't get, get on my horse and, you know, wave my wand around. I can't stop the prophecies, but I can try to do my part for harmony with people. I have people that, look, Billy's been attacked literally 24 times. I've had a death threat or two and people hate me. I don't dislike anybody fundamentally. Now, there's people that I could say, oh, wait a minute, you child molesters and all that stuff. But we're talking about people can dislike Meyer's material or my approach. Are we intrinsically trying to solve some problems and set that healing in motion now and maintaining it through the hard time to come?
I don't think we are at all. The bifurcation grows worse every day. There's very little difference between a lot of Republicans and Democrats. They're all there to cash in. We've gone from a philosophy of America worst to America first to America worst. I think the fall is inevitable. One question I did want to ask you about Billy's interaction with the ETs, since they seemingly can look into the future, have they mastered time travel in some fashion?
Long ago, but I seem to now use the word allowed. There are certain, let's just say, higher laws that they have to abide by, and they're very strict. These people have tremendous freedom because they're not bound by monetary things. They can have whatever they want, but each person on the planet has the same status. They have to contribute 2 hours of work every day, and then they have whatever they need. And then when we realize that what we need and want come together, when we're not worried about amassing and having more than others, okay. So one of the things that they can do and have been able to do in their society for a very long time is travel forward and or backward in time. That's how many of these prophecies, pardon me, which are probabilities and or predictions come to exist. These prophets of the past, and I'll name them, and this will ruffle some feathers, but this is what's said. Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, Muhammad, and Meyer. We'll get to who's Emmanuel, but what's this Muhammad? Well, what they're saying is, look, he was another true prophet. The Quran does not represent. He never married children. He was a liberator of women, and his task was to try to stem the power of the church so that people weren't enslaved by the church. And he, you know, now wait a minute. I said Emmanuel. Well, who's Emmanuel? Well, according to this information, if you want to know who Emmanuel was, go to Isaiah 7:14 or Matthew 1:23, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. There's a whole book that was discovered by Meyer and a Greek Orthodox priest. You talk about controversy. I won't go farther into it right now. But folks, you know, you can have a lifetime of study here, and may we all have long enough lifetimes whether we choose to do this or not. This is designed for us to take responsibility for ourselves to determine the truth if we want to. Not outside sources. This is the destiny according to Meyer said it once in a sentence, the meaning of life is the evolution of consciousness. We have to evolve constantly, to learn, to grow. And all of that involves mistakes, stumbling here and there, great discoveries and pitfalls, but always, ultimately, as he said, each human being is the smith, the forger of their own destiny. And only by people becoming self-responsible, for better or for worse, just having to, can we view each other and honor each other as true human beings who are dedicated to growing together and not looking always to have advantage over each other. Yes, they can travel in time, and that's how they did most of those prophecies and predictions.
Do we have a latent ability in human beings to travel in time, at least from a cognitive standpoint?
Well, here's something you heard me mention before, the Earth foreigners, three groups who live underground. The third group, Meyer refers to as the future Earth travelers. And what he has been told by the Pleiaren, these are Earth human beings from the distant future who mastered time travel. They are not interacting with us. They're observing, probably in effect, how did they end up there from here? Again, I cannot prove that one, but they have said it. And he mentions it in the documentary. Put it up. It's linked from my website. I will just tell anybody that contacts me and wants more information, you know, I'll tell them where to find it. May I make one pitch? Is that okay or not? I'll just say this.
Yes. No, it's fine. Yes.
Okay. Anybody that buys anything, the least expensive thing is, I don't know, $10 or $15, whatever it is. And those are, you know, documents, whatever. Anybody who gets anything from my hard copy or digital site, including any films or books by Meyer, which are mind-blowing, I will, if you just say free somewhere in your order, if you can't find it, you email free. Or say Dave, Doug, and Dave. I don't, anyway, just let me know. I will send you for free the documentary we put out in 2008 called The Silent Revolution of Truth, which some people say is the best UFO documentary ever made. And you get that for free, and you'll see what we were talking about then and what's come to pass and what Billy says about all this. It gives you something to think about for an hour and a half, if you want. And then there's plenty, but that's, it's like, it's a twofer. And I like doing that because you're not going to lose anything by whatever you get. We only have good material, in my opinion. And then that film, I'm very proud of that film. It was produced with a friend of mine, a German guy, who was able also to speak to them in German to clarify things. And then we translated to English. So that's my big pitch. I'm not a big pitcher. I'd love it. But I do my work voluntarily for free. All of this is whatever I have. It's for free so that the people that will attack me for doing it for money will know that they're incorrect. Meyer has a nonprofit, Swiss nonprofit publishing company. If you know what I mean by that. It's like, okay, it can be a piece of paper. You know, it's very strict stuff. So it's like, please, if you go to the blog, and you, there's a website where I have 200 more articles and stuff. You're just going to see the most amazing films and photographs in that Beamship gallery that we have on the blog. I discovered, are we on Zoom?
We're on Zoom.
Okay. If I may, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to really quickly, if I have a minute to do this, I want to just pick up.
I'll share a screen for you just a moment.
Oh, good. Okay. Thank you. I'll just show you a couple things that I want to show you because background and effects. Okay. So Meyer has photographed. I'm going to have to squirm away from this one a little bit. There's a series of 9 photos. This is one from 1975, 76, where he, oops, what does this say? Oh, thank you. Wow. We're somehow here, right? Can you see my thing there?
Dave, just back out of it. He's got it behind his screen.
Okay, I'm trying to back out.
Okay.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, so it's got something here. All right, so behind me is one of a series of 9 photos where the craft circles the tree. You can see the reflection of the sky, of the tree, of the ground. These have been analyzed up the wazoo. Astronaut, U.S. astronaut, the late Gordon Cooper, we have him on film saying, oh, that Swiss man, Billy Meyer, he takes real pictures of real UFOs from extraterrestrials. Cooper says, I don't know why people attack him. It's real. Okay. So that's the kind of thing. Here's like probably a photo with two of them behind me. You can see, a photo like this. But I'll show you another photo. This is one of nine photos. I don't know if you can tell. Let's see, where am I? Well, I'll sit out of the way. Up here, that's a stealth fighter plane.
Right.
Down there is a UFO. I found these 2 years ago in October. That's a top secret plane in 1981. We have nine photos. That's one of the UFOs in the Meyer case. The photos weren't even taken by Meyer. They were taken by Wendell Stevens, the military investigator that the ETs, Meyer allowed him to come with the ETs on a couple occasions. We have a picture of Wendell and Billy Meyer in Arizona. Billy didn't fly here in a plane. So Wendell Stevens was hidden there at Area 51. He takes these nine photos, independently authenticated by Kodak and by other experts. No one in ufology, no one in the government will mention them. A top secret. And we have two articles, one in which we show when you blow up these things and you focus in, this isn't a black plane. This was a camouflage stealth. It was, I think, literally the first of the stealths that was tested. We have photos from the test pilot of that plane. This is mind-blowing stuff. And I have an article saying this is the key to our avoiding World War III. If our government will not tell the truth, we're not, these guys, this thing here, it could have vaporized that thing anytime. It simply remained in frame with each of the passes of the stealth. It was a clear message. We can do this. We mean you no harm. We're not attacking you. I opened the box in Moab, Utah, in a storage unit, and I'm looking at these photos and we're, holy cow, and I sent them off to Switzerland and they're very excited. I've put up two film clips recently that are pretty impressive when you see them. Meyer in a video taking a photograph of a UFO hovering in a tree, broad daylight, then zooming in on it. And then I show the details of the craft and all this stuff. So this is not Lou Elizondo and these people who are just manipulating people. This is the real deal. When Lou Elizondo, if you know who he is, he came out with this, I will always tell the truth. I will reveal. So I wrote him. I wrote him on Twitter, too. And I said, so, Lou, I saw you always tell the truth. What's the truth about the Billy Meyer case? He, to this day, won't mention it, but he did one thing. I got sent a video by Sean Cahill, the Navy guy that's a friend of, and here it starts off with Cahill looking at me in the camera, and he's got a cell phone. And then he looks over and he points, and in the front seat of this car, while I'm blabbing in the background of my video that I did on him, Lou Elizondo turns around and smiles and gives me a thumbs up, like, well, tough luck, buddy. So I've got Chris Mellon in writing, admitting he knows the Meyer case is real. I have Daniel Sheehan in audio, admitting he knows the Meyer. None of them will talk about it because it blows out of the water the UFO threat, the need for us to be trillions more dollars for a war with Russia that we're going to lose no matter. We need to back out of this stuff. And so here, Billy had called me, can you go to Moab, Utah? I think you might find something there. Okay. Nine photos. Mind-boggling stuff. I'll give you one last story, if I may. This was in 2017 in January. I get a call at 8:30 in the morning on a Saturday. It's a gruff-sounding guy named Joe. I've told the story many times, but I don't think you may have ever heard it. I'm Joe. I'm an investigator. Will you talk about Billy Meyer? Yeah, why? I think it's a hoax. I said, okay, fine, let's go. Every Saturday morning for 3 months into the end of March, phone rings, anonymous Joe. It's not a conversation after about the first phone call. It's literally an interrogation. And I really respected this guy. He was driving it. And then he disappears, comes back in late August. I'll tell you who I am. You're willing to talk to me still? I said, yeah, Joe, how you been? I've been fine. Now open your email. Okay. Photos of tabletops. He says, you're looking at that? I said, yeah. He says, I am the former top investigator and supervisor for the United States Air Force, OSI, and Department of Defense. I've personally vetted hundreds, supervised hundreds of cases, interrogations, high-level people, fingers on nuclear button, searched out moles, etc. I dug into all the information you gave me and more. the woman you said was just a child in India when Meyer was there, and she said that she saw the UFOs, and you know, you have those photos and everything. Well, it's true. She's a retired UN diplomat. So here's the bottom line, Michael. I said, yeah, your Billy Meyer UFO case is 100% ironclad, authentic. I will take on any skeptics in your behalf. Calls me back a week or two later. Listen, I talked to a couple of these UFO people. They don't know their ass from their elbow. I can't talk to anymore. I'm sending you the article. Publish the article. The protocols are there. You don't have to be an investigator to understand how to walk through step by step, means, motive, opportunity, and all the rest. How this guy always is at the right place. He can take these photos 30 at a time, films. Just go through it. You determine the truth for yourself. And he says, one more thing. After we spoke, I watched every video on Billy Meyer on YouTube. That is the most honest man I've ever seen. And I've been in the rooms with people who were very good at lying. He said, I read body language. That's an honest man. Good luck to you. And basically, he disappeared. Called me a couple times later, but that was it. Didn't want to have anything more to do. He's an expat. And since that time, no so-called credible skeptic will take this on. They certainly won't even answer these photos, let alone anything else. So that's why I said the UFO stuff, in a sense, it's the easiest. We can prove that. The prophecies and predictions, I marched up to an investigator, a NASA USGS investigator, scientist, who does the imaging on the Mars rover. Brought him 3 pages of that. I'll stop. Go ahead.
No, I just was amazing. How does the rover enter into this?
Yeah, you brought up something that me and Dave were talking about earlier.
Really? Okay.
Yes. And I've just been, while you've been talking, I've been sitting here researching Billy Meyer and reading. So forgive me if I've been silent.
No, it's fine.
We were talking about earlier, Mr. Horn. We were talking about the satellite Voyager, and how ever since it passed Pluto, if I'm correct, I think it passed Pluto almost 10 years ago. Okay. When it passed Pluto, it's now starting to project back at us a language.
Oh, that yeah. I didn't know. That's interesting.
So
should I tell you what I was told today? I'll tell you, both of you.
Yeah.
Doug, this was between our last conversation and us coming on the air with Mr. Horn.
Okay.
I've got a source that was formerly NASA, never a straight answer. And he used to go to those meetings, Doug, that I used to tell you we went to back in the late 90s. And I asked him about this, and he said, the speculation, you're going to laugh, and they're panicked over it, is that some alien force has come across this, and they're broadcasting to us in a language they think we could eventually decipher, in a modality they know we can handle. I don't know if this is true, but this is what I was told. I've known this guy for 30 years.
Oh, right. It would sound like he's telling the truth. There's no doubt about that. But you mentioned the Voyager. So before Mars, let me give you something on the Voyager. In 1978, well, I'll run here. On March 12th, 1979, a Monday, I believe, NASA JPL makes an announcement that the discovery that Io is the most volcanically active body in the solar system was the most important discovery of the Voyager mission, except for one thing. Wendell Stevens, 3 days before that, he was returning to the States. He already had in his possession the information from October 19th, 1978, from Billy Meyer, as he describes Io being the most volcanically active body in the solar system, the composition of the ejecta, how far it goes, the speeds it's propelled at, plus the information about the, the sulfur ions that are expelled ultimately end up in the torus of Jupiter, and on and on and on, and this and that. He scooped NASA there, 5 months. And I took on skeptics who were trying to tell me they could prove it was a hoax. They ended up validating it by trying to prove it by publishing information from a year later with the so-called new discoveries that Meyer had published a year and a half before. So that was fun. But we come back to Mars Rover. So I go up because I'd seen this guy online in an article. His name is Ken Herkenhoff. And I asked to meet with him. I went up with 3 pages of information. And he, really nice guy, big bear of a guy, comes out. Hey, how can I help you? I said, Ken, thanks very much. I've got some information from you. Would you be so kind as to take a look at this when you have time and get back to me? Oh, sure. What I gave him was, and it's all, I have it all on the website, and I have the story as well, gave him 3 pages of information primarily, but not exclusively, about Mars and about black holes, all published by Meyer from a few years to several decades before discovery. You don't, there's no way, he didn't backdate it, he couldn't have, ironclad, copyright verified. This guy writes back, he said, well, could he just be a good guesser? I said, Ken, I don't think so. So he tried to challenge it. It was great. He says, well, I've never heard about this one, lightning on Mars. This is a NASA JPL guy. Meyer publishes it in, I don't know, 82, 86, something like that. So I go on, and finally, it turns out NASA had discovered it in 2009. But Billy Meyer had described the water that would be found on Mars. Where? What direction would it flow? How deep? This, that. I mean, and it's all in these publications he gives away practically. So that, to me, this is what I call the higher standard of proof. People can argue about UFO photos till the cows come home, even though we can, here, it's real. All the analyses, the, you know, and you've got all these experts saying, it's real, it's real. Okay, you want to argue about you? Tell me how you falsify a copyright, how you can have information. I ran this by a judge in Las Vegas, a retired guy, came over to the table, and MUFON had given me a table there. They don't like me, but they did. And this can't be true. I'm interested in UFOs. It's Billy Meyer. So I said, Your Honor, can I step into your courtroom for a minute? And I go, oh, yes, please. Come on. Really cool guy, older guy, retired. I said, Your Honor, if I tell you that NASA's claim that they were the ones who discovered that the core of Mercury is responsible for the contraction of the surface of the planet in 2004, they claim they've discovered it. But if I say my buddy in Switzerland published that information 32 years earlier, would I actually have to prove that? He says, well, of course you have to prove it. I said, so this book here, you see the copyright date, Your Honor? Yes. I said, sure. Because I knew where this one was. And I said, now do you see the copyright date here? And do you see where this man, Billy Meyer, asks this alleged extraterrestrial woman, can you tell me, I've always wondered what the reason for the contraction of the surface of Mercury is. And she says, well, that's not difficult. It's the metal core. And I said, Your Honor, in your courtroom, who prevails? You do. How much is the book? How much is the film? People that, a lawyer, somebody, you say to them copyright, and you mean you can prove that's copyright, that you're going to walk out of there with the award. No claims. It's no hyperbole. It's not a conspiracy. He published it. And things that are in books, you know, people go nuts over the two planets beyond Pluto that we've discovered after the turn of the century. They're in a book from 1978. They're on a 1958 document from Meyer. After the turn of the century, two small planetary bodies will be discovered. It goes on and on. And these people, their language that they speak to them in, they learn German. If they can travel in time and space, they can learn German. And they did. And so it gets translated into other languages.
Mr. Harlan, I'm going to bring Doug back in here. Doug, we're almost out of time, and I wanted you, I know that you've been kind of silent in thought and gathering your ammunition, so to speak. So why don't you just take this over real quick with some rapid fire questions to close out?
Okay, so I do a tremendous amount of research into history, especially World War II era U.S. government. Majestic 12 was a gathering back in July, like 15th, 17th time frame, in the 1940s, I believe. And in that meeting, it's a one-day meeting. There's no records, but there's, you know, there's no timestamp, there's no notes to it, but there's one record that's actually in the U.S. archives, National Archives. It says Majestic 12 was created. This happened roughly around the same time the Roswell crash happened and everyone started to meet together. I think, based off my research so far, could be completely wrong. Based off my research, I think that one of the reasons why Majestic 12 happened and the UFO scare from 46, 47, 48, where we saw like, you know, almost 2,000 UFOs to be reported within the United States. I think that happened because, and this is my opinion, the Nazi scientists that we did not catch and the equipment in the laboratories, which it's documented fact actually, that the Russians went into the other side of Germany that they had access to, broke down entire factories, packaged them up into trucks, which is an amazing logistical feat to literally break down a building. And I don't mean like a laboratory. I mean, they broke down the building and then recreated it back in Moscow. And then they put everybody back to work, not for free, not with paid benefits like the United States did. They put their butts back to work or die.
Yeah.
I think Majestic 12, the UFO projects, I don't really know what to think about a lot of the sightings, because people see things that they can't explain and they explain it to the best way that they can, right? But I think there is definitely a military-industrial complex planning within the government for how to handle advanced aeronautical craft that we know through the America Bomber project that the Nazis were working on, multiple stage rockets, gigantic airplanes the size of freaking stadiums. They were working on things that we just did not have an answer for militarily. We didn't have an answer for it. It was the Nazi scientists who helped the Russians get the rockets up off the skies first. They're the ones who helped get Sputnik in the air first. So obviously, this is a real military threat. But why don't we say it? If we knew it, we have. I've done the documentaries already. I've done all the research already. I've shown how many different craft that were a circular donut in origin that we have, you know, sitting out there at Groom Lake that we've recreated. You have Bob Lazar, who says innocently he worked on a craft. He doesn't know if it's extraterrestrial. He doesn't know what it is, but it is something that nobody else has. Nobody could explain. That's right. He only worked on this one part. Mm-hmm. I think the Nazis tapped into something. I don't know how to explain it, but I think they tapped into something that put them above and beyond everyone else. The Russians got what we didn't get. And that's why all this is taking place now.
I'll give you my understanding from the Meyer material and also then what Wendell told me as an Air Force guy. Unfortunately, the Germans, prior to the Nazism thing, were impulsed telepathically, their scientists, with information on how to build alternative craft, because the unfortunately naive extraterrestrials, in this case, thought the Germans would be the most likely ones to bring peace and order to the world. They were kind of those kind of people, you know. They found out that that wasn't so, but they had input plans that resulted in the development of craft, but they then input into the designs limitations so they couldn't become true spacecraft.
So now, let me ask you a question. Is that that's the same thing with the documents that say, and Dave, I'll let you answer this. I know we're going a little bit above, but I want Dave to go into what his father researched and worked with. And Dave, you can probably take it from here. But the conversations that our expats had and our intel guys had with German scientists saying, where'd you get this information from? And they said, what, Dave?
Well, my dad was retired. He was 6 months early from naval service with full benefits to go to work with German scientists in Colorado that they had captured. And this work was on and off for about 8 years. And he was doing the reversal of theoretical physics. And he asked him routinely, one-on-one many times. He said, where did you get this? And to a person, they said, we got it from ETs. And my dad said, did you ever meet them? And they said, well, no, but our commanders did. My dad defaulted to Genesis 6 and fallen angels, spiritual inhabitations, and so forth. That was his belief in this because the Germans couldn't produce their claim and prove their claim. But he also knew it was bizarre that they were 200 to 300 years ahead of us in physics.
Well, let me add to this then, because this is all tying into one thing. According to the information in this case, the U.S., Russia, Great Britain, and even Canada got a hold of this material and began their developments of alternative craft, which exist in all these. And nowadays, even probably China has it, and France may have. And see, we're talking about secret military levels. The official governments know very little about this. I'm sure it's probably still the case. Wendell Stevens told me, because he was a great, he, you drop a quarter in Wendell and you just sit down and be prepared for IMAX. I mean, he just was loaded for bear. He said during the Second World War, because the Nazis had developed some of the alternative craft, when the U.S. was going to do a huge bomber run, and he, I don't remember if he ever gave me which one it was, they had a couple hundred craft in the air or whatever. And he said the Nazis sent up just two of these. And one of them, I forget what the other one functioned, one of them pulsed a frequency that threw off the firing of the lead planes, the engines in the lead planes. I am not an aeronautical engineer. I'm just telling you what Wendell told me. He said what they did with just two craft is they caused havoc with this attempted bombing run. I don't know if it's historical. I cannot tell you it's true. I can only tell you that he told me. He says the mystery to him, to Wendell, was why they didn't pursue developing those craft further, because they would have been unbeatable.
I know that answer. And this comes from associates of my father. And one of them had a son that eventually worked in the secret space program, now known as the Space Force. And the answer is this: they couldn't produce them fast enough to make a difference.
Okay.
They ran out of time.
Yeah.
And well, it's a simple answer. It's a simple answer. There's nothing exotic about it, but that was the story. In fact, actually, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, these craft, many times it appeared, the alien craft was referred to as Foo Fighters. But that's different than what you're talking about here. But these were German-produced craft in underground factories.
Yeah, Vril and Honey Boo, I think, were names associated with them. So all I'm saying is that not just the Russians, but other countries, including us who were in the Allied effort, came into possession of enough information somehow one way or the other. It was even espionage from one country to another. And these things have been – remember I said in the very beginning – alternative craft have been under development in America since the 1920s. This stuff is, you know, kind of kept out of the history, as many things are. So the UFO part of this is very interesting. If it ever comes about where you'd want to read the information, the depth of information from Meyer with these people basically telling him so much of this stuff, it's staggering. But basically, they, you know, at this point, they still meet with Billy because they still will have conversations with about information that is just so important and interesting. But it's not connected so much now to what their mission was to get the warnings into our world. They do ever more frequently speak about the Ukraine and what's going on there and what's coming. And the fact that basically once we started to send that heavy equipment, that heavy fighting equipment, and the personnel to operate it, we were in a war with Russia. And this isn't going to suddenly go away. They gave some future viewing things. We had it weeks before the events happened, as it's happened with the stuff with COVID and other things. They said, this is coming. For instance, one of the things they mentioned, that just an anecdotal thing they threw out, and I watched it, though, they said, Switzerland is going to come up with a law shortly to limit the height that drones can go. That seems like a little throwaway, but if that turns out to be true, it's simply another thing. Whereas, because they never offer theories, they have no beliefs about anything, they don't know everything, and they only speak about what they do know, or to say they don't know. So this is where it starts coming. It comes back down to, okay, well, this is you and me and our families and our friends and all the people in the world that are crazy for power, whether it's the WEF or secret military or BlackRock or Blackwater. You know, what do? We try to make friends with each other a bit, because we're going to have to pull together. Now, some people may not ever feel the need for that, but others may. We're not islands anymore. And we don't.
Ms. Earn, is there a blue beam component to what Billy Meyer talked about? Will there be a made up fake alien invasion designed to promote the development of world government?
Years ago, well, Billy Meyer, 1958, in one of the specific letters of prophecies and predictions, said, in addition to his predicting the interconnection of computers around the world before we had them to interconnect, He spoke about that the people of Earth will be biochipped, every man, woman, and child, under a central control in, I think he mentions Brussels at that time, unless people
interesting
fight that, 1958. So you mentioned a project that he says this agenda is there, but he said people have to understand there isn't one single monolithic dark force in your world. There are many interests that are groups that vie for power with each other. And these are power intended groups. They are apolitical. They will use whatever is necessary. They do work to enslave people and destroy. And he also, at the time when I asked him, I asked him about clones. And he says, this was 10 years ago, at least I asked him about clones. He said, oh, your government has worked on that for 30 years. They've already done some cloning. And, and then when I found the article from 1987, which about, cloned conscienceless killer soldiers that will be turned against the people. Also, they warned about the nuclear attack by China against India, the chance that Pakistan and India get into a conflagration. Other conflicts with countries, they forewarned. I was invited by a skeptical professor to lecture twice at NAU on the Meyer material. We would meet and we'd talk, and he'd shake his head, and then he called me up one day and he said, you know that information about, this was in November of 2015, I think. He said, my wife just came up to me and said, radical Islamists have attacked Paris. There's fires and everything. And he said, I said to her, thank you, but I already know that. So thank you, Michael, for sending me Billy Meyer's material from 1958 for warning of that. This stuff just will drive you nuts. And he does make distinctions. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I have a question. I know y'all have had some run-ins with SETI. and I've watched everything that Dr. Stephen Greer has put out for a video.
Yeah.
And when it comes to at least the uncovering of government documents, I'm a true nerd at uncovering government documents and reading them, because that history is fascinating and weird. And if you've ever wanted to know how dangerous our government can be, look up Operation Northwoods. So I'm concerned about things like CE5, the Close Encounters 5 technique. And I say that because I'm a Christian, and being that I'm a Christian, I am always going to be forewarning of people of false religions. And I believe there's a very dangerous context within people who are disparaged right now within their own personal beliefs. You've had the governments wanting to have war with each other. We've had COVID, the lockdowns, the destruction of the dollar. All these things make people very depressed, suicidal. And then they look up into the sky and they say, oh, look, there's a savior, right? There's a savior. And then you have guys like Dr. Stephen Greer, respectfully, who will go on these vast meditations, and they will, through their mind, contact the nuts and bolts vehicle in another galaxy, and it appears. And in my mind, as a Christian, I say, that's demonic. That is not natural. We can't do that. That's not the way science works. And I'm very based about my science. I being in the military, being in government, I know how radio waves work. I've used all different kinds of crazy radios. But what he is doing and what he is saying, I think it's dangerous. I think in one light, I love what he's doing, because he's bringing about the fact that there is an unacknowledged program of, extraterrestrial vehicles and craft that were almost completely funded by the U.S. government, nuts and bolts craft, actual abductions, and a staging of a war, and saying that the aliens are a threat.
Right.
I think he's correct when he says that, because the military industrial complex cannot be fed enough. It always needs new meat. However, the contacts of something that you can't prove, you're not testing the spirits. you know, obviously this man, I don't care if he says he's a Christian or not. That is something that as Christians, we go, you don't do that. The Bible specifically says you don't do that. All right. But there are going to be people around the world, and I've covered this before, who are going to be fooled by a alien savior religion. Do you ever deal with anything like that?
Yeah, you've hit on so many things. Remember I said there was a group underneath the Great Pyramid. They were going to enslave the world through what? A false second coming. They had manufactured the artifacts, the long turned to dust cross of the crucifixion, the spear of destiny, the crown of thorns. And Billy was shown these things and told, these will pass tests on earth, but these were manufactured by these people. This is a whole story here. Now, they are no longer here. Let's hit on the things you were just talking about. Myers, I had asked him about the false ETs. He says it's always a possibility. It still is, because in this committee that's being chaired by Andre Carson, he's talking about the threat is exponentially increased. So in my article, I wrote, how do you exponentially increase a zero threat? Okay. What Greer... I offered Greer the whole Meyer case stuff in 2004. Wouldn't even look at me in a public presentation. It's okay. He pumps out there. He's done some really good work. He's always pimping for money and free energy devices. We don't do that because we don't. That's not what this is meant to do. Okay. So here's the thing. I'll tie it into another so-called case, ESETI, a guy named James Gilliland in Mount something or other in Washington. He comes up to me in May of 2004 in Arizona. We're both at a UFO New Age Expo thing. He says, hey, you're Billy's guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He says, here, I've got a videotape of my contacts with extraterrestrials at Mount, I always forget where it is, Mount Washington, whatever. He says, will you show it to Billy? I said, yes. So I go to Switzerland, and this is actually in their documents because he is meeting with one of the ETs saying, Michael Horn gave me this. It's from a guy in America. Would you take a look? And the, you know, they go back and forth. A number of the sentences spoken, and the guy says, this is not extraterrestrial. This is secret craft from Area 51. This man is under delusions that he's in touch with extraterrestrials, but it's not the truth at all. Well, when I brought that back for Gilliland, then he really hated me and Billy Meyer. What's to say how Stephen Greer can't prove this? Because here's the context. We're going out to the desert to shine flashlights for aliens on demand, everybody. So the guys at Area 51 say, hey, well, Greer's at it again. Let's go over there. And as they sit there, you know, and he's not in. Now, look, under worst case, if there was an evil ET group. But what's the point? Where's the payoff? Anybody that's evilly intended, they can get here from there and is hovering around. They could have taken this place long ago. So I don't think that Greer is calling in extraterrestrials. I think he's being played as well. It's so obvious. Shine your flashlights, aliens on demand. Look, they're blinking their lights at us.
Well, all I can say is that if you could really just, you know, meditate and sit on a rock with a group of random people and contact a race of beings from wherever they came from with the means that we do not know how to explain, Stephen Greer would be arrested. And hear me when I say this. 15 years in government, I'm telling you right now, Stephen Greer would be arrested, and you would never hear of Stephen Greer again. That's what we do.
Why do you think there have been 24 attempts on Meyer's life? How do you think he gets in contact with these people initially, and then he has his face-to-face meeting? So I'll just put this out for information. Human beings have capacities, mostly not developed at this time by people on the planet, that we would call either paranormal, we'd call them possessed, whatever you want to call it, but they may actually, if they do exist, and if they ever come into the service of human beings, our science would be able to figure that out and say, oh, that's how that's done. It's not demons. It's not evil, this or that. It's a capacity that's not unlike the capacity when you have a hunch about something, when you get an inspiration about something that there is more to us than we know, which is part of why Billy's written 60 books. We're not going to sit around and get in touch telepathy. What for? These are advanced people that don't need to mess with, you know, float Aunt Edna through the walls or bring Uncle Joe on board a ship and get his valuable genetic material. That's the disinfo stuff that did come. After Roosevelt knew, was informed about the crashes, the real crashes of ET, what do you think that broadcast with Orson Welles doing H.G. Wells was about? It was to start the whole disinfo fear of evil aliens, whether they're demons or, you know, reptilian.
Well, I will say I'll actually give weight to that. I never thought about that, the War of the Worlds. But if and here's homework for people, look up Project Mockingbird.
Yes.
The CIA owns mainstream media. They own it. They tell them what to talk about. And back then it was the magazines, right? They told the magazines what to publish, radio stations. And then when the television finally came in, they owned that, you know, and that's where a lot of the subliminal messaging came from. Here's my last question. And that's brilliant. I'm glad you brought that up, because now I'm going to write something about it. Because
if you know about the SOG team?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So Meyer had written about that some time ago, and also in there had mentioned in one of those documents about the Microsoft Windows having a backdoor under computers before it was published anywhere. I mean, they do that all the time. He's put himself at risk for that. So if you need any of his material to do your deep dive on,
we'll be in contact on that.
We're going to have to do a follow-up show, because I'd like to get into maybe the 10 biggest predictions Billy Meyer made in terms of severity, importance, and so forth. I think I'm getting an education here. I know about Billy Meyer. I've heard shows about it, read about
Dave,
it, but
how long do we got?
An education.
How long do we got left?
We're 15 minutes over time.
Okay.
Did Doug have a last question that we accommodate or not? We can do it later if not. I'm sorry.
So here's the last question. Professor Zahi vindicated your work and more or less came out and proved the photographs.
He's one of the people that did it.
Yeah. Yes. And you know, I think this will be the one of the next things that we bring up for the next time we bring this up, because I'll go ahead and capture a bunch of the other photos that we can go through. So what, there's over 60 photos, right? I think it's like 60
we've
some
got 617
odd. Yeah.
Remaining.
So I want to be able to bring those up and share them with people, because as I go through it, there's a lot of correlation to photos that have been drawn throughout the years of unidentified objects, which I'm fascinated, because I'm like, damn, I don't think I've ever really gotten into this research like this. So thank you very much for you know, the stories that you shared and the accounts that
you
shared. And
it's been fantastic.
Yeah, I can't wait to have you back on. I think this is a good break from reality and politics. This is better.
Actually, I think this is highly political. I think it drives politics.
It drives the military industrial complex and the economy, because these things come. We talk about Build Back Better all the time. Mm-hmm. This is part of it. We're leading into
the Rand Corporation, right? The role they play, the whole thing. There's tons of information here, so we will share that. Listen, I have to thank you so much. This is the first time I've been allowed an audience like yours. It's just it.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, and you are always welcome to come onto this platform.
Absolutely.
You know, and we'll make sure we get with the scheduling agent and we do this again, because I think this may be a 3 or 4 part series, Dave.
Anything you want.
It sounds good. It's been a real distinct pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Horn. And Doug, I guess on behalf of the Doug and Dave Intel Report and all the other entities that we represent, Heroes Nation, the CommonSenseShow.tv, I want to thank everybody for being here. And I'm sure your brain hurts because you got a real download today. But we'll come back and decipher it more. This is our hidden history, and it's about time we got into it. Thanks a lot, gentlemen.
all stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.